All right, take your Bible, turn to 2 Kings chapter 18. 2 Kings chapter 18. I believe the Bible is the Word of God. Say amen. Amen. He wrote it down for us. God's wise and He's smart. And He didn't leave anything undone. Let me give you a little history lesson. A lot of times we try to make these founding fathers out to be these godly, saintly men. And some of them were. There's no doubt about it. Do I need a new battery? All right. Some of them were pretty good guys. But Thomas Jefferson, while I do this here, Thomas Jefferson was what was called a deist. Does anybody know what a deist is? It's got Dei is God, so yeah, he believed in God. But a deist is someone, Jim, that says, I believe God created the universe. I believe he took it all and went and got it spinning. Okay? Got everything set how he wanted. And then he just went, you're on your own. That's a deist. Okay? I don't believe that. Number one, that makes God out to be a lazy God. Amen? Because how many of us get something going and then just go sit down with a glass of iced tea and a nice chair and just go, it'll be all right, dear. It'll be all right. So that makes God out to be a lazy God. The idea that God just set everything in motion and then just let it go, that's fallacy. God is the judge. He's the king. He's the ruler. He's the governor over all things. And God superintends everything that goes on in His creation. Do you believe that? Say amen. I don't believe in Bible deism. I believe that God inspired His Word, kept His Word, preserved His Word, translated His Word, fulfilled His Word, honored His Word. Everything is about God's Word. In fact, God put His Word above His name. Somebody say amen. He honored His Word above His name. Now I want you to remember that while we preach this morning, all right? In 2 Kings chapter 18, here's what the Bible says. Now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. In verse 3, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. I want you to get a hold of that this morning. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. That means that he realized that God was overseeing what he was doing. And he had an obligation to do what God wanted him to do. In that, he set himself apart and set himself as different than his forefathers who did that which was right in whose sight? Their own. This is how I see it. I see it this way. I don't believe God would do this. I believe that I can do this. I don't see it that way. That's how most people live their life. They have built and established their own ideas as God over their life. And that's how they do it. Well, this was not Hezekiah. So he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that David, his father, did. He removed the high places and broke the images and cut down the groves and break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan. We preached on that in the last few Sundays. Now in verse 5, he trusted in the Lord God of Israel. I want you to think about that. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him, for he clave to the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord commanded Moses. And the Lord was with them, and he prospered whithersoever he went forth. And he rebelled against the king of Syria, and he served him not. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God for help. You pray for me this morning that God will help me preach, all right? Heavenly Father, Lord, even though I'm feeling pretty good today, Lord, I dare not trust in the arm of flesh. Like we sang a while ago, the arm of flesh will fail us. We dare not trust our own. Lord, help me, dear God, not trust me. Not trust my abilities, not trust anything, Lord, that comes out of my mouth. So, Lord, I'm leaning on you and I'm asking you, dear God, for help and for guidance and for truth. Lord, I need your help to preach and help me, dear God, preach without apology to any man. Help me, dear God, to preach as if These people would never hear another message as long as they live. Lord, Father, if there's someone sitting here or there's someone watching this morning, God, that, Lord, this might very well be the last message they ever hear. And then, Lord, Father, help me with that responsibility. And so, Father, I pray, dear God, Lord, that you would guide my thoughts. Lord, if there's some sort of stronghold here this morning, I pray, God, that you would remove it. Lord, Father, make it go sit outside in the rain while we sit in here and try to believe your word, have faith in it, and have trust in it. Father, I pray, dear God, Lord, that you'd give us freedom and liberty. Lord, liberty in Christ. Freedom, dear God, to serve you, Lord, with a loving heart. We thank you, dear God, for setting us free from our sins. And now we come back to you and say we're a willing servant for you, and we want to be that for the rest of our lives. I just pray, Heavenly Father, Lord God, that you would help us this morning. Help us, dear God, not follow the crowd. Help us, dear God, Lord, not try to be like everybody else. But, Lord, set aside your treasured and your peculiar people for your service and for your kingdom. Lord, I love you. I ask you, God, Lord, to bless my best and even my worst efforts. God, would you bless it, I pray, in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. A couple things I want to look at this morning, and then I'll send you out in the rain and the storms, all right? The Bible says in 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 5, look at that verse again. Here's what's noted about Hezekiah. Number one, he trusted in the Lord God of Israel. That's the first thing we're going to touch on this morning. And then it says, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. And I would say this morning, just out of a way of introduction, we have a lot of people sitting in churches all over this country, probably all over the world. I've been in different places and I've seen God's people. I've seen some of the churches they're in. A lot of people call themselves Christians. A lot of say, well, I'm a Christian faith. I'm a believer in God, or I'm a believer in this and that and the other. And they refer to themselves as being, they'll say that in, let's say, in contrast to them saying, well, I'm not a Muslim, or I'm not a Buddhist, or I'm not a Wiccan, or I'm not anything else, or I'm not an atheist. They would say that they were a Christian. They would say that they are of the Christian faith, is how they would term it. The problem is that word faith and that word trust. By the way, faith is trust. If you say that you have faith in God, that means that you trust in God. You know, and when you put your trust in God, you have decided that you're not going to trust anything else in this world except for God. And I just probably preach on a couple things this morning that goes along with that. We've got a bunch of people in this country that have decided to put their confidence in their pastor or in their religious leader or their Bible study leader or in the men who run the seminaries and the Bible colleges and the Bible scholars and the theologians and everything else. Men who are, in some cases, men of corrupt minds. Men who don't believe the Bible. Men who, in some cases, are wicked behind the scenes. And we have decided as church people to put our confidence in them and to put our trust in them and let them tell us who God is and who God isn't and how God runs and how God doesn't run. We have decided to do that, and that's in contrast to the Word of God. I'm telling you this morning that if you're here this morning, you're listening to my voice and you call yourself a Christian, that you've learned what everybody else had to learn, is that you put no confidence in the flesh. You put no confidence in men whatsoever. You don't follow men. You follow the Lord Jesus Christ and you follow his word. Can I hear you say amen? Because I want to tell you something. The wolves are out there. The wolves, and I call them the creepers, because Jude said certain men crept in unawares. And they've crept into our colleges, they've crept into our seminaries, they've crept into our denominations, they've crept into the leadership positions of just about every Christian sect and denomination that there is in the world. And they've crept into these places and they've taken over. They've removed God's people away from the only visible, tangible thing in this world that you can and should trust, and that is your Holy Bible.
That's right.
How many of you got a Bible here this morning? Raise it up high. Show it up. Show everybody what you got. You have the very Word of God right there in your hand. In fact, if you don't believe that, John said, let me read what he said. Let me read to you. And this is so, this idea and this concept is so far above some people's heads that they never grasp it. John said, if I can just get my finger to work here, hang on a second. My fingers are slower than my brain is. John 1:1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard. How many of you heard the word of God preached? Say amen. Which we have seen with our eyes. Who in here has ever seen the visible image of Jesus Christ? No. But what have you seen? What you've got in your hand right there. That which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon. And look at that. Our hands have handled of the word of life. If, as some people say, the word of God's out floating around out here somewhere and he'll give it every now and then if we get in the right service and get in the right mood and get the drums going in church and everybody swaying and moving and everything like that, then God will give his word. If that's how it is, then that takes away from you being sitting alone in your car one day when your world is falling apart and you have nowhere else to turn to, and yet you've got a Bible sitting down there in the console and you just pull it out and you handle the word of God, and God's word is right there for you, and you read it and God says, listen to this, this is what I'm going to do in your life. I believe in a word that I can handle. I believe in a word of God that I can touch. I believe in one that I can read and see and follow, see it with my own eyes. Should we go back to the days of the Roman Catholic Church when the priest told everybody, now you don't get a Bible. In fact, they didn't want it translated out of anything but Latin, because they knew that the common man was not educated to be able to read or understand Latin, and they refused to have it translated for everybody until a guy by the name of William Tyndale showed up on the scene. Amen. You know what, William Tyndale, you know what he was? He was a Roman Catholic priest in England, and he heard the lies that were being told out of the Catholic pulpits all over the place, and he said, I think it's a shame that they're doing to this people. So he started translating the New Testament into English so those people could have the Word of God, so they could read it for themselves. You know what that did? The Vatican hated that man. And after his death, they got so mad at what he had done, they wanted to make it a public example of him. They dug him up, had a trial over him, over his dead body, and took his body, his corpse, and burned it and scattered and drug it all over the place for people to see it. That's how bad the Catholic Church hated for you to have the Word of God. Thank God you still have it in your hands. You've handled it right there. Somebody say amen. And listen, I know what I'm talking about because I've sat there in the car. I have been in my car by myself, bawling my eyes out, crying, God help me. God has fallen apart. God, I don't know what to do. God, I have no hope. I didn't know where to turn. God, I don't even know what to think anymore. God, I need help. And right there, get pull out a Bible. I think you ought to carry one in your car, by the way. By the way, if you carry a tire knocker or a gun in your car, I think you ought to carry a Bible too. Amen. You never know when it might come in handy. And pull that Bible out and just start reading. And then you begin to trust those words because you know that men did not write those words. How many of y'all know that? Men did not write the Bible. I don't care what anybody says. And most of the people that you know of have probably said at one time, well, men wrote, you're smiling. You've heard people. I'm just waiting for someone to go, mm-hmm. You've heard them tell you, men wrote the Bible. Men wrote that book. Men wrote the Bible. In fact, the whole thing about the Da Vinci Code was to try to convince as many people as possible that the Bible did not come from God, that it came from the hands of men. And I'd say probably for the most part it's worked. Now, if you've got a Bible and you have the idea that your Bible was written by men, then why don't you go trade it in for something that Dr. Phil wrote or Oprah Winfrey or anybody else in this, or Ellen or anybody else in this planet wrote, because those words are probably just no better or worse than their words over there. Why don't you just trade it in? But I want to tell you something. When the rubber hits the road and it really comes down to substantive issues in your life, you know that you're going to need something that you would absolutely 100% trust in. How many of you trust politicians? Raise your hand. How many of you trust bosses? Raise your hand. Alicia, raise your hand. Gary? Hey. Nah, put it down. I'm her daddy, and I don't want her to trust me. Her daddy can fail. Her daddy has given her bad advice before. Her daddy has said things to her that I had to go back and apologize for. Amen? But you've got a book in your hand. You've handled it. That is the absolute, veritable, verifiable, provable, testable, been through the fire, Word of God. And I think you should trust it. I think if God said night is night and day is day, I think you ought to trust that. I think if God said that He created the world in 6 days and there were 24 hours, I think you ought to trust that. You say, well, it doesn't say that yet. It does. It says the evening and the morning. That's 24 hours. There's 12 hours after morning and there's 12 hours after evening. That God knew exactly what He was saying. Somebody say amen. Amen. I think you ought to believe it happened about 6,000 years ago. I think you ought to believe that God looked upon the earth and saw that the earth was so wicked that He decided to destroy it with a universal flood. I think you ought to believe that every mountaintop in the world was covered over by water. That's what I think you ought to believe. I think you ought to believe that David killed a giant who was 6 cubits in a span. I think you ought to believe that God parted the Red Sea. And I think you ought to believe that the Israelites walked across some dry ground. I don't think you ought to believe what they tried to teach me in Bible college was, well, you know, maybe that was an area of the Red Sea that, you know, has low and high tides and is a kind of a marshy area. And really what happened was they crossed the Red Sea in like, you know, 2-3 inches of water there. Well, that's even a bigger miracle than anything, because that means God drowned Pharaoh in 3 inches of water.
Amen.
Amen. See, I think you ought to believe this stuff. I think you ought to believe that Jesus was born of a virgin. Amen? I think you ought to believe that He is the Son of God. I think you ought to believe the Holy Ghost conceived Him inside of Mary's womb. I think you ought to believe that He died as the sinless Lamb of God for the sins of all mankind, and that whosoever will may come and receive salvation. I think you ought to believe that. I think you ought to believe that He went down to preach to those spirits in prison for 3 days, and He set captivity free while He was down there, and He condemned the rest of those that were down there. And I think you ought to believe that on the third day when they went to His tomb, He was not there. And it's not because His body had been stolen. It's because that the power of God came upon Him and resurrected Him, and He was alive, and He visited people after He was alive. I think you ought to believe that He ascended into heaven in a cloud, and I think you ought to believe that He's coming back in like manner. That's what I think you ought to believe. And I think you ought to believe everything from Genesis to Revelation is the absolute veritable Word of God, and there are zero mistakes in the Word of God. If God says it, then it means exactly that. Whether you trust it or whether you understand it or not is irrelevant. Read it and believe it. Somebody say amen. Amen. I believe it's the book of life. I believe that it's the book of your life. I believe that there's not an issue of your life that you cannot turn to that book and find an answer for. I believe it's the corrector when we're wrong. I believe it's God gives us a pat on the back with the Word of God when we're right. I believe that God shows us His love and commends His love to us by showing us and revealing to us the words of this book. I think you ought to be able to trust this book. I think there's been some good men over the years who tried to preach and teach this book. I think there's been some godly preachers, but every one of them has failed in one aspect or another in trying to reveal and portray the truth and the absolute beauty of this book. I, in my lifetime, will never be able to get into the depths of this book. And in that, many times I fail. But I believe that you can trust this book. And I'm not going to be ashamed of that in front of anybody. Can I hear you say amen? Let me give you some verses here. Hezekiah, you know what he's saying there? He trusted in the Lord God of Israel. You know what the Bible's telling you right there? Hezekiah was a Bible believer. He believed the Bible. He believed the Word of God. He believed that it was written. He believed that God spoke it. He believed that when the prophet spoke, God put His words in their mouth. And what they said was the absolute Word of God. That's what Hezekiah believed. Hezekiah believed that when they pulled the scroll out and said, King, we found this. Here's the scroll right here. Here's the law of Moses. Let's go by this. Hezekiah knew that that was the absolute Word of God. And it was final authority in every issue. That's why he tore down all those images and cut down all those high places. That's why he did that, because he believed the Word of God. Hezekiah believed the Word of God so much that he believed that you cannot serve two masters. You're either going to love one and hate the other, or hold to the one and despise the other. That's what Hezekiah believed, that you can't serve two masters. This is what he believed. He trusted in the Lord. And I'm going to ask you this question this morning. Where are you putting your trust? Where are you putting your hope? Where are you putting your confidence? In fact, let's just run down a list here this morning. We already asked, can you trust politicians? The sad state of affairs in this country is that a majority of Americans still believe that if we get the right people involved in politics in Washington, D.C., then we're going to save our country. And I'm telling you, that's not going to work. It's a fallacy and it's a lie. We are too good. Listen, we've gone too many years without people without a Bible in their hand in this country.
Yeah.
And you may not agree with this, but the best that we could do in this country after 200 years, or actually go all the way back to 1620, that many years of Bible Christianity in this country, and the best we could do for a president is serve up a Muslim and a Mormon. And that's the best we could do in this country. I have no more confidence in elected officials, politicians, or anything like that. I'm still under them, and I'm still governed by them, but I have no confidence in them. I don't trust politicians. I don't trust everything my doctor says. I don't think you ought to put your trust in uncertain riches. You know what happens when you put your trust in uncertain riches? They grow wings as eagles and fly away. Everybody pull a dollar bill out and look on the back of it. Your dollar bill has already grown wings. And it will fly away, especially if you give it to me. Amen? I don't hold on to money for very long at all. My wife holds on to money forever. She gives me a little allowance every week. And she knows that by the next week coming around, I'm going to need some more because I don't have it no more. I don't want money. I want things. I want breakfast. Amen? I don't want money. Anyway, we don't trust in uncertain riches. You put your money in a 401k. What's going on with all the 401ks in this country? What's going on with all the union pensions? What's going on with all the retirement accounts? What's going on with Social Security? What's going on with Medicare? Ask yourself the question, is anything that I laid up and anything that I thought was stable 20, 30 years ago, what is the condition of it right now? How much money you get from your savings account? How much interest you get from a savings account nowadays? 0.5%? Mm-mm-mm. People have put their trust in denominations. At one time, the denominations in this country served a mighty purpose at the hand of God. They sent missionaries out all over the world to preach the gospel. Now you can't. I don't trust them as far as I can throw them. I know for a fact in the Free Will Baptist, the Southern Baptist, the Independent Baptist, the Nazarene, the Pentecostal, the Assembly of God, the Church of Christ, the Church of God, the United Methodist, the Presbyterian, the Episcopalian, and just about every other breed and strain of Christianity in this country has been indoctrinated with false doctrine from the top down, and they're moving it down, and they're sending it down the pike to the churches through the literature. I know that for a fact. I've seen it come down in the Free Will Baptist literature. I've seen it come down the pike to the churches, and it just makes me weep. These are men that when I grew up, I trusted these men. I had confidence in these men, that these were the men of God who were going to hold to the standard of the Word of God. And I found out that I was wrong. And I don't trust them anymore. I don't trust the military prowess of the United States of America any longer. Number one, I think we've gotten into fighting unjust wars. Number two, too many of our guys, because we're a godless nation, too many of our guys, our soldiers in uniform, are committing crimes all over the world. And I think it's an embarrassment to the United States of America and to the military. And I love the military, but I think it's an embarrassment. And I don't trust the military prowess of this country, the military might. I don't trust anything in this world. But one thing I do, that which I've handled with my bare hands, and that is the Word of God. Let me read some verses for you this morning. 2 Samuel 22, verse 31. As for God, His way is perfect. Now, I want to say something to you this morning, and you might get mad at me. But I hold in my hand the absolute perfect Word of God. How do I know that? 2 Samuel 22, 31. As for God, His way is perfect. Amen. Woo! Amen. Preacher, preach that. Thank you, I will. Because see, I went to Bible college. I went off to Bible college. I left this church and went off to two Bible colleges and had three years of them telling me there's mistakes in all your Bibles. 3 years of them telling me that the Word of God's not perfect. 3 years of them telling me I got to know secret languages that nobody else really knows and your church people won't know. 3 years of indoctrinating me into the fact that I cannot trust even my Bible, but I'm to stand up in front of people and tell people that they have to trust me, that what I'm telling them is true, whether I knew it or not. And my wife, I'd have told this story a dozen times. My wife used to chew me out after Sunday morning preaching out there at Ridgewoods. I'd say, now the original Greek, it says, blah, 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 blah. And she said, would you stop that?
Yeah.
Why are you doing that? No one understands that. Just preach the Bible to it. I got mad at her because, honey, I went to Bible college. I'm paying on student loans for this. She said, yeah, I know. If I believe that God created the universe in 6 days and that He keeps my soul in His hand, why cannot I believe that He preserved His word and that His way is perfect? Why cannot I believe that? I don't know of anything perfect, Jim. I know I'm not. I know my family's not. And I know you people in this church, you're good people, but you're not perfect. And sometimes we get to thinking that our way is the best way, and then we find out how stupid we were, and we realize the older we get, the less we trust our own judgment. Did you know that's what wisdom is? Wisdom is that the older you get, the less you trust your own thinking. And you should have just trusted the Word of God to begin with.
Yeah.
That's good. 2 Samuel 22, here's that verse again. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. You know what that means? A billion people that's walked down the road ahead of you has tried it out, and they'll tell you that this word of God is absolutely perfect and its ways are right. Can I hear you say amen?
Amen.
He is a buckler to all them that trust in Him. You know what a buckler is? It's not your belt buckle. Even though I kind of like to think of it, because I tell you, my belt buckle is my best friend sometimes. Amen? Amen? To those of us who still like to hold our pants up high where they're supposed to be, men,
amen.
Say amen to that.
Amen.
A buckler is like a shield. We're to arm ourselves. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6, having the what of faith? Shield of faith. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing cometh by the Word of God. See, you're right back here to the Bible. This Bible is a defense to me. It is a buckler. It is a shield. It is protecting me from the advances of the enemy. In my life, I have had the enemies coming after me. I've had enemies of false doctrine coming after me, trying to get me to go off course. I've had enemies of sin coming after me, trying to get me to fall away. I've had enemies of depression and all kinds of things like that. And in every situation, I had to use the Word of God to protect me, or I would not be standing here today. Don't you see that this is your only defense in life? Somebody say amen. You ought to trust it. You ought to count on it. You ought to believe it. Even if you don't understand everything. I don't. Gary doesn't. Amen, Gary? Thought he was asleep. I'm just checking. Amen, Phil? Just trust it. It's the Word of God. You get to a place in your life, you may sit down and realize that God has taken everything else away from you but this. And when you get there, you'll end up like Mike Hoggard. Someone who says, there is no mistakes in this book, can't be. It's the only thing that I trust. Because I've been in those situations where God literally took everything away from me. And all I had was this. And God said, good boy, Mike. That's where I wanted you all along. Why didn't you just stay there? And I can tell you that since He did that, I've stayed in this book. And God has protected me. God has been my shield. And I trust what this says. Psalm 7, verse 1. O Lord my God, in thee do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me and deliver me. We're not in a position yet in this country where we are being persecuted for our faith. We're not there yet. But it's coming. Don't you see that? Don't you see that? Don't you see that the tide is turning? I never would have dreamed, Sterling, that Barack Hussein would have gotten another term. In fact, you kept asking me, what do you think? I said, they'll kick him out. Surely they will. And I woke up to the reality, this is not the country I thought it was. It scares me a little bit. And it should scare us a little bit too. And I would dare say, maybe this really isn't the case. But let me ask you a question. Your faith, your trust in God, has that ever been tested? I mean, really? Has it ever been tried? Has it ever been tested? If it hasn't, I recommend it. I really do. I recommend it. I recommend having your faith tried and tested. See, something that dawned on Lisa and I, is we're raising these children. And we're saying, now you can't do this. Yeah, you should do this. Be this way. Don't be this way. We're saying all that took, take them to church 3 times a week, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday school, revival meeting, put them in Christian school. We're doing all this stuff for them. But it just dawned on us one day that all that faith that we gave them was our faith on them. At some point, they grow up, and it's got to be their own faith. Amen? And they came back to the Bible. As far as I know, none of my kids believe that the Bible's not the Word of God. None of them believe that. And if I find out you do, I'm going to whip you. Matthew.
Yes.
Caleb.
What?
If you've never had your faith tested, I recommend it. I absolutely do. I think it's one of the best things that a Christian can and should go. I think everybody should try it. Why? Because when you get on the other side of that, you will never look back. You won't. You'll get to a place in your life where nobody's going to ever be able to say to you, the Bible's wrong. Nobody will ever say that. No, and people, I have people try to tell me that all the time. You can't imagine the emails I get from people. And the logic that they try to throw my way to try to convince me that my Bible's in error. And I'm just going, tch, 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 tch. It works. Psalm 9:10. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. You know what God said? He'd never forsake you. And I listen, I'm not kidding. I recommend that you have a Bible within arm's length of you 24 hours a day. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if you have a concealed carry license. But if you have a concealed carry license, the whole purpose of getting a concealed carry license is so that you can have access to your weapon, how often? 24 hours a day. Because bad guys don't usually send you an email telling you when they're going to show up. They don't usually blow a whistle and say, I'm coming to steal thy funds. They don't. They don't knock on your door before they kick it in. They just kick it in. Your enemy, the devil, shows up the exact same way. And I recommend that you have access to a Bible 24 hours a day. Jim, you got your phone on you? Are you ever without your... Who in here carries a phone with them everywhere they go? Raise your hand! Put a Bible on it.
Amen.
If you need the app, listen, we'll give you the app. Oh, by the way, we had a lady write Bible search software just for this church. We have it available. It's going to be on our website. Free download. So that you can have this all the time and study it exactly the way I do. In fact, you could be smarter than me if you wanted to. Which ain't hard. You know what God's wanting you to do? He's wanting you to trust this book. And he says, if you trust me, I'll come and defend you. And I'll rescue you. And I'll protect you. And I'll do all this stuff. Let me move on. I got some more verses to read. Psalm 18, verse 2. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. My buckler, the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved. See the word saved? Let me tell you something. You listen to me real good. I don't say this stuff. I have a real thing about calling people whether they're saved or not saved. I usually find that's not my place. But I'm going to tell you what the Word of God says. If you don't trust God, you're not saved. If you don't trust God, He will not save you. Let me read this verse again. The Lord is my rock, my fortress. You know what a fortress is, don't you? You know what a fortress is? And my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler, the horn of my salvation, my high tower. You know what a high tower is, don't you? That's a lookout post, and that's put you up high enough where the bad guys can't get to you. So I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from my enemies. God has a way of salvation, and that is for you to put your trust in God. And if you don't put your trust in God, you're not saved. Amen. You're not saved if you don't put your trust in God. God will let you out just enough long enough for you to find out that you can't trust government, that you can't trust anything else in this world. You've made government your God. You've made money your God. You've made your pride your God. The work of your hands your God. You've made everything else your God. God will force you and bring you to a place where you realize that you're not going to be saved unless God saves you. That's what God will do for you. I highly recommend it. I told everybody after I got electrocuted. I almost recommend that one. I think most everybody ought to have a big brush with death to make them wake up and realize, God really is my Savior. As Jared Lewis is falling off 20,000 feet of scaffold, hitting everything on his way down to the ground, body parts laying all over the place. You realize that God kept you alive. Amen. Psalm 20, verse 8. Some trust in chariots and some on horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Psalm 34, verse 7. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. I like that. Now, I'm going to be honest about something. We've been kind of talking here lately about church security. There was a church over here in East St. Louis. They don't allow them to carry over there. Church over there in East St. Louis. Bad guys came right in the middle of the service and robbed everybody in that church at gunpoint. Guys with guns went up to the pulpit. That would make me mad. I wouldn't even let a guy with an NIV behind my pulpit. I'm not going to let some stranger with a knife behind my pulpit. And I'm telling you something. We're just taking it seriously about trying to protect our church. It's all we're doing. Because you never know what's going to happen. In today's world, it's a sick world. And for somebody to go into elementary school and blow away 20 kids, that almost makes me sick enough to vomit to think about somebody doing that. And I'd hate to see it here. But I will tell you, I believe that when we gather together, the angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him. Amen. Gary may sit out there and fall asleep one day. You just never know. But angels don't sleep. and he delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Have you ever tried this book? Have you ever tried this? I recommend it. If you like the way you're eating now, taste this one. I promise you it'll taste good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. Did you know what David said? He said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor saints begging bread. Can I tell you something? I think that it's possible that before we shoot out of here in the air, that we might see a famine in this country. I think it's possible that dangerous and perilous times would come to this land of fat and buffets and pounds of bologna and all that stuff. I think it could come. And I think those that trust God, when all the grocery stores shut down and all the supply lines are cut and all the food's bad, I think God's people will be taken care of. Because in a situation like that, the last 30 years of the Federal Emergency Management Association or administration, the last 30 years or however long they've been in place, tells you that in the case of a real bad disaster, the government probably will not help you. Amen? So I just turn to the Word of God. I got one more verse and I'm going to let you go. Now listen to this now. Psalm 31:6. This is the Word of God. I have hated them that regard lying vanities. Whew. That's a strong word. I have hated them that regard lying vanities. But I trust in the Lord. Now don't you listen to me. In this church house this morning, there are two types of people. Hopefully there's only one kind of people in this church, but maybe sitting here this morning, two types of people. Those that trust the Lord and those that don't. You have to decide whose side you're on. I'm not looking at you going, yeah, I think. I don't know you. I don't know what's going on in your brain. I don't know what you've been through. But there are two types of people. Those who trust the Lord and those who don't. That's right. And when I say the Lord, this is it right here. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he had on his vesture written a name, the Word of God. That which we have handled, the Word of life. God is my help. You will never, as long as I stand here breathing, you will never hear me say, you can't trust everything that's in here. You'll never hear me say that.
Amen. Amen.
If I never got to preach another day, would never sit under anybody who said, you can't trust everything that's in here. I would never do that. Because if I can't trust what's here, who am I supposed to trust? The guy with the suit behind the pulpit? That guy that's stealing money from the church? That guy's having multiple affairs around in the church? Tell you what, us preachers are really getting into it nowadays. You know why the preachers are falling away left and right into sin? They didn't have an anchor. They didn't have a book to hold them, Phil. They put their trust in themselves, and they're all falling away. I'm telling you, trust in the Lord. Trust Him. We were talking this morning in Sunday school about women were having their head covered and men not having their head covered. Now, I kind of have a clue why I think that's in the Bible, but I may be wrong. But you look at that and you go, why is that necessary? Why is it that we have to know that men should not wear? By the way, men, when they say the Pledge of Allegiance, you take your cap off. Amen. When they're going to bow at prayer at the dinner table at the family reunion, you godly men take your hat off. Right. Let them boogerheads in your family leave it on in dishonor. Amen? But we're not to pray or prophesy with our head covered. Women are to have their head covered. Now, we don't exactly know why that's in the Bible, but it's in the Bible. And I think we ought to trust it. We may not understand it, but if it's in the Bible, I trust it and I accept it. And God will protect me and keep me with that protection and with that trust. Will you trust what God said? Will you trust God? Let's stand to our feet. Alicia, would you come to play just, if you can, just a verse or two of invitation? Is she back there? There she is. With your head bowed and your eye closed while she comes. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand or nothing this morning, but if you'd like to come and pray down one of these benches, well, this is what we're doing. This is why we're here. And God will help you. Amen. If God's dealing with you this morning, if He gets you to a place where you don't have anything else, He will leave you with the one thing that you can count on all the time. It's the only thing actually that you ever need. That is His Word. Will you trust it? Will you trust it? And if you're having issues with it right now, I really do. I know it sounds mean, but I really, really recommend you saying to God, God, take away everything in my life that I cannot trust and leave me only with what I can trust. I recommend you doing that because it works. It's an amazing thing. Will you do that this morning? And if not this morning, maybe tomorrow morning or next week or next month or next year. But will you ask God, God, take it all away. Take everything that I cannot trust and leave me only with this. Will you do that? Pretty good example of what happens when you know you need to come down and pray, but you know if you get down there, you can't get back up. So it's okay, just come over here. I do it every now and then. Just slide over here to the steps. That way you can... It's either that or we're going to have to buy one of them lifts for everybody. You know what I'm talking about? Huh? Or hoist? Yeah. So anyway. Hey, God bless you this week. I really mean that. I hope God blesses you. I hope He helps you this week. And I really do. I really hope that God will take away everything from you that you're trusting in. And let me just throw this at you. If He does, if God loves America, you know what He's going to do? He's going to take everything away from us that we're trusting in. He's done it before. He's done it before. I'd let Him do it again. It's what we want. Anyway, come back and be with us tonight at 6 o'clock. And join with us as we preach the Word of God. All right? Y'all have a good week. Let's be dismissed in a word of prayer. And the Lord bless you as we're dismissed. Brother Sterling, close us in prayer, please. Hello, folks. Pastor Mike here. And sometimes you'll hear me talk about during a sermon or a teaching about being saved or salvation. And some people just don't know what that is. And I just want to share with you from the Bible what it means to be saved. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm not here as a pastor or here as part of this church because I'm better than anybody. I'm here because I'm a sinner. I have done things that have violated the laws of God. And I need to be sorry for those. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We all have what's coming to us as a result of our sinfulness and as a result of us breaking God's law. And some people say, well, you know, it says death. Yeah, we're all going to die. But that doesn't necessarily mean hell. The Bible also says the wicked
shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. See, the Bible teaches, and we teach here in a literal place called hell. We believe in a literal place of joy and peace and eternal life that is in heaven that God gives to those that are saved. But we also believed in eternal hell, a place of everlasting torment to those who reject God's gift of salvation. So we know that we have sinned. We know that the wages of that sin is death. But the Bible says in the same verse, Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, including me and including you, would believe in him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Being saved means being born again and being saved from the wrath of God's judgment upon us, what we deserve, what we have coming as a result of our sinfulness. So the Bible says in 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I don't know about you, but one of the greatest things, in fact, the greatest thing that has ever happened to Mike Hoggard is the fact that I confessed my sins to God, and God forgave and still does forgive every one of my sins. Romans 10 says it this way. It says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What it means to be saved is that God has cornered you with the result and the things, the effects of your sin in your life. The Holy Spirit is bearing down on your soul right now, and you feel the guilt of Almighty God upon you. And God is trying to make you so that you, just like our parents used to do, God is trying to make you sorry for your sins. We confess those sins to God. We repent of them, which means that we don't want sin to be a part of our life any longer. And we simply ask God, God, you take over the reins in my life and you be the Lord of my life. And you give me the promise of your Holy Spirit in me so that I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven now. And I want you to understand that God offers salvation to you today if you will accept his free gift. Trust in the Lord, repent of your sins. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you watch any of our videos or at some point and God is just dealing with you, you bow your head and you call upon the name of the Lord and ask God to forgive you and ask God to save you. And God promised in his word, and God has never broken his word. God promised in his word that he would forgive you and that he would save you, and heaven would be your eternal home. I hope and pray that one of these days I see you in heaven and you get to see me in heaven. God bless you. Bye-bye.